and a rough going it was. So great is the inspiring story of that journey. It has been told and retold by Rebbes and Hasidim for the past three generations. This good Yidden is how Reb Shmuel told it himself.
If it hadn't happened to me personally, I would hardly have believed it. Our journey was well underway when we arrived one night in a small village and checked into the local Jewish inn, the Kretschmer. With me and my wife and children were other relatives making the difficult trek to Eretz Yisrael. At supper, another Jewish traveler walked in and sat down beside us. Of course, we began to converse. I asked him who he was, and this is how he answered.
I am a Jew, my friend. And where, may I ask, are you headed?
I told him the name of our next stop, many days away from where we were.
Well, what do you know? That's my destination, too.
Oh, well, then you must come join us in our wagon.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary. Thank you for your kindness. But I really prefer to travel on foot.
On foot, he said. Believe it or not. As strongly as I insisted, he declined my offer. Now, I've met all sorts on the road, but I must say, I was left confused. Moreover, I would have never expected what followed. Days later, as we were pulling up in the next village, lo and behold, that Yid was already there, waiting to greet us.
Welcome, my friends. I'm so glad you've made it safely. There's a hot dinner ready for the whole family. Come and we'll eat.
We were amazed. Sure enough, we were warmly welcomed to find a home-cooked meal already on the table. Afterwards, the innkeeper wouldn't even let me pay a half ruble for our food. And in the morning, our mysterious friend was gone. We continued on according to plan. After a long day of traveling, we came to our next stop. There we were, once again, pulling into town. But I couldn't believe my eyes. That same Jew was there, once again, to greet us.
Welcome, welcome, my friends. You must be very hungry by now.
Oh, well, yes, we are. But we're even hungrier to know who you are. We're not used to such hospitality on these roads.
Ah, don't worry about it. But do come in and eat before the food gets cold.
Well, you'd never believe it, but this went on for 13 days. Each day we would say goodbye to this remarkable man, and each day thereafter we'd once again meet up with him and his kind deeds. What I couldn't understand was, what did we do to deserve such kindness? But most interestingly, who was this holy Jew? The following day, as on every other day of our journey, we left in the morning after davening, always heading slowly south in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. A few hours had passed when we found ourselves in the thick of a forest with barely a path to tread on. Suddenly, from out of nowhere, we heard a loud voice urgently calling to us. It sounded like our special friend.
Stop, Reb Shmuel! Stop! Don't go any further! There's danger ahead!
We called the horses to a halt, and I immediately turned to my family and directed them to start saying tehillim. I thought to myself there must be a gang of bandits in the forest. Sure enough, we saw them coming. We couldn't tell how many there were. We were paralyzed by the sight of their long, sharp knives waving in the air. We trembled with fear. These were real murderers. We all prayed. Secretly, we all hoped that this special Jew was really a hidden tzaddik who would save us. So it was. We all watched as the Jew faced the bandits head on. He drew himself up as straight as a board, raised both of his arms as high as they would reach, and let out a cry like Yoshua in Yericho.
Tipol aleihem emoso v'fachad.
Suddenly their faces turned white like corpses. They turned and rode away, screaming. Every last one of them. Then this Jew, no, this angel of mercy, turned to us.
Baruch Hashem, there's nothing to worry about now. You are safe. A Jew must never let evil men scare him, though these ones, I admit, do put on a good show. Continue now on your journey to Eretz Yisrael, and you will arrive there in good health. May God be with you, my friends.
And he just walked the other way. I ran after him, calling, "Wait! You just now saved our lives! Who are you?"
How can we ever thank you?
Go in peace, my friend.
Goodbye.
He kept on walking, so I ran after him. I had to speak to him one last time. I said,
"Please, please, before you go, tell me who you are and why we have merited all these gifts and miracles."
At this he slowed and finally turned around.
"If you insist, I can tell you. It's a bit of a tale, so you may as well have a seat over there on that tree stump."
And so he began.
"I am the personal shamus of Rebbatala of Chernobyl. As everyone knows, he is responsible for the needs of the Lamedvav Tzaddikim. It used to be that I was his messenger to deliver money to each of the 36. My last mission was 20 years ago, after which the Holy Rebbe let me go. He had sent me one day just before Yom Tov to deliver two envelopes to two hidden tzaddikim. Since the time I had to complete my mission was so short, the Rebbe gave over to me the secret of Kfitzas HaDerech. That means that as fast as you can snap your fingers, I could travel instantly to any place in the world by means of a secret passed down from our father Abraham. The Rebbe gave me two envelopes. In one there were 38 rubles, but in the other only 6. He instructed me clearly as to which one was for which of the tzaddikim. I jumped over to the home of the first tzaddik, the one to whom the Rebbe was sending 38 rubles, but he wasn't home. I couldn't help noticing how well furnished this home was. Everything was prepared for Yom Tov. The table was set with fine silver, and so much good food was laid out. I waited for a while for the tzaddik to arrive, but then decided to hop over to the home of the other one in the meantime. I jumped, but found him absent as well. Waiting around again, I noticed that the home of the second tzaddik was quite the opposite of the first. Poverty was visible in every corner. I saw very simple food, and not much of it. No nice clothing or furnishings. The house was small and empty. They didn't even have a sturdy chair to sit on. This wasn't making sense to me. Seeing as how the Rebbe was sending this poor tzaddik 6 rubles, and the rich one 38, it was incomprehensible. I reasoned that the Rebbe must have made a mistake. I didn't know. So I decided to give the poor tzaddik the envelope with the 38 rubles and to give the rich tzaddik the envelope with 6 rubles. I actually thought that the Rebbe would be pleased. So that's what I did. And I thought to myself, mission well done. I quickly zipped back to Chernobyl, arriving right before Yom Tov began. As I approached the Rebbe's door, I somehow sensed that the Rebbe already knew what happened. But never would I have guessed that this would be my last mission as shamus.
"Ah, my shamus, I see you have returned in time for Yom Tov. But tell me, since when have you become Rebbe?"
"A Rebbe?" I asked.
"No, I'm afraid you're not a Rebbe, nor even a Rebbe's shamus. For I have seen that I can't send one as unreliable as you as my messenger any longer."
"But Rebbe, I was sure that you meant for the poorer tzaddik to receive the larger sum of money. After all, it was only logical."
"You must learn that logic isn't everything. Far from it. The divine plan for this world lies far beyond the comprehension of the human brain."
I was humbled and shaken. For 20 years, the Rebbe didn't give me one assignment, until just recently, and that was yours. A chassid came to tell me that the Rebbe wanted to see me. Revived and filled with joy, I sped to my dear Rebbe's house. When I came in, the Rebbe said to me,
"Yes, it's been a long time since you served as my shamus, but I now have an important mission for you. A certain precious Yidla and his family have set out for Eretz Yisrael. They are in great danger. I want you to escort them and save them from the gang of murderers lying in wait in the forest. For this purpose, I will now endow you with the secret of Tipoil Alehem Emosova Fahad. You will extend your arms up to heaven and pronounce that pasuk loudly as you will see fit. I bless you, my Shamus. Be successful in your mission.
It was none other than Ramatala Chernobyl who sent me to take care of you and save you from the outlaws. Now I'm sure that you appreciate in more ways than one why I was trying to do such a good job. Well, that's my story. And with your permission, I will return to Reb Matala, and you should continue on your way to the Holy Land. Hashem Imachem, may God be with you.
The Shamus disappeared in a flash, leaving me sitting on that tree stump to meditate on the ways of Hashem and at his abundant Rachmonis. We were able to continue on our way and arrive safely in Eretz Yisrael, thanks to the brachas of Rav Motla Chernobyler and the hard work of his once again trusted Holy Shamus.
In a certain village, there lived a farmer who had a pretty yet modest daughter named Sara, who found favor in all who saw her. One day, the son of the local non-Jewish landowner saw her and fell in love. He went to his father and said,
"Father, there is a beautiful girl amongst the Jews whom I have fallen in love with. If you don't make her my wife, my life isn't worth living."
"Whose daughter is it, my son?"
his father asked him. He answered,
"She's the daughter of the Jewish farmer."
The landowner sent for the farmer and said to him,
"Give your daughter to my son to be his wife, for he has fallen in love with her. If you refuse, your end will be a bitter one."
With a heavy, broken heart, the shaking farmer returned to his home and told his family what had happened, and they too were seized with fear. From that day on, his whole family was scared of anything that moved. Now, in the house of the farmer, there was a middle-aged scholar, a teacher named Rabbi Yosef, whose job was to instruct the farmer's seven small children in the ways of the Torah. He was a straight and honest man, but he himself had no wife and children. Rabbi Yosef's only concern was the study and fulfillment of the Torah and the commandments. Well, for Sara, the eldest, she saw there was no way out. So she decided to marry the scholar, for certainly the son of the landowner would be disgusted at the thought of marrying her after she had married this older man. She told her idea to her father and asked him to ask the teacher if he would be willing to marry her. He did, and the teacher consented. They both left immediately in secret to the neighboring town, and there Rabbi Yosef took Sara to be his wife. 3 days later, the farmer went to the landowner and told him that his daughter fell in love with an old man and ran off with him, and that he'd been looking for them for 3 days, but with no luck.
"Liar!"
the father screamed.
"I'm being cheated by a Jew who doesn't want to give his daughter to my son. Do you expect me to believe that a young girl would willingly marry an old man?"
After his outburst, the landowner launched a thorough investigation as to the whereabouts of the girl. He eventually found out that she was living in a far-off city, married to an old man, apparently willingly. He was miraculously convinced that she had done this from her own free will, and therefore left her father alone. That teacher, Rabbi Yosef, was a hidden tzaddik, one of the 36 on whose merit the world stands. He saw that there was a modest girl in that village who was destined to be his bride. So he decided to go to that village and hire himself out as the teacher in the house of her father. He lived there for a couple of years and patiently waited for the girl to come of age. But when he heard that the adversary had spread his net at the feet of the girl in the form of the son of the